There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email me your audio file if you want to record it on your smartphone and just send us the M4A or MP3 file. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Your calls and stories today on the show. Excited about that. I have all my teeth today after experimenting with the popcorn project the other day.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Yeah, well, yeah. We were talking the other day on the show of the making the half pop popcorn.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It was really good. I was really surprised. I was a little nervous about you taking something you had just boiled and putting it into hot oil.
Yeah, that was a risky proposition.
But it was really, really good.
I mean, you kind of dry it out a little bit. I mean, as best you can to get the water off of the popcorn. But then I thought it was going to be a fail when I was popping it because it was taking forever to kind of get popping. And then it finally started popping. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of half popped. And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's the whole purpose. It's supposed to be half pop popcorn. And took it out, and even the ones that didn't look like they popped very well, still quite tasty.
And as a person that knows they're not supposed to eat the kernels in the bottom of the popcorn bowl, but does it anyway, I completely appreciated the fact that they were all like the ones you look for that are just slightly cracked where you can eat them.
Yeah, and they were like edible. They weren't like rocks. It wasn't like eating gravel. Even if it wasn't very popped, it was still like softened. I think
it had a
boiling
neat texture. I don't even know what the texture
was. It's like corn nutty.
Kind of, yeah.
Almost, but anyway. This is my prediction. This half-pop popcorn stuff, because I bought a couple brands online just to try different ones. I predict it will be big.
Food of 2017?
I do. I really...
Kind of like quinoa was a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and
I think it's going to be up there. I really do.
Everything was, yeah.
It will be delicious, and you will be like, you talked about that. Or it'll be a complete and utter failure, and I'll just still be eating like half pop popcorn next year. So one of the two will occur, and exactly which one, I have no idea. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller today. Hello.
Hi, my name is Levi. This happened, I've been watching your show, not watching, but listening to your show for a while. This happened when I was about, I'd say, 16. And my uncle, he owned this old farmhouse that's been in our family forever. I mean, I guess our family got it back right after the Civil War. Well, my cousin always told me, oh, this place is haunted, all blah, blah, blah. I never believed him. Well, one summer I came down and stayed the summer there. And it all started basically, one night we were all just sitting in the living room, and there's a fireplace to the left of the living room. And there's a little place we put all the wood and stack it up, because that's where they used to stack it up for the winter time. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden the little door to the little room opens up. That was the first thing that happened. I was there maybe a week, and this happened, so I thought it was a draft. They were all freaking out. I was laughing. I never really believed in ghosts, and this opened, and I just thought it was a draft. Next day it comes around. I walk walking to the kitchen, and all the cabinet doors were open, and that little door that holds where the logs, where all the wood is open as well. So it comes around to Friday night, and we're all just having a good time, drinking just normal stupid shit you do, and I don't know how to explain it. All of a sudden, I felt like the room got darker to me, and then all of a sudden, upstairs, we heard somebody walking. Well, all of us cousins and my uncle, we were all down here talking and laughing. So, of course, we all went up to check it out, see what it was, and nothing was there. My cousins say, oh, this happens quite often, and it's nothing to worry about. Well, it came to the third night, and we all decided, it was just, well, not third night, third week, third week, and we all said, I convinced them, all right, well, since you think this ghost is real, let's stay up tonight and see what we can find. And this is what made me believe in ghosts, because this is the scariest thing that's ever happened in my life. We were walking around the house with our little phone cameras, thinking we could catch something on the videos that we wouldn't see, and my cousin had a little recorder thing, and all of a sudden we walk to the living room and we hear a loud, like, banshee scream, like the loudest scream I've ever heard, and then the door to the log room slams shut, and it was the single most terrifying thing that ever happened to me, and I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what's going on from that moment on. I believe in ghosts, because there's no other explanation for us. It was just us cousins that night, and I don't know, but that's my story. I hope you guys play it. All right, bye.
A scream and then a slammed door.
I would make me believe in ghosts.
It makes me wonder, though, was it screaming at them, or was it just, you know, a scream and then a slam door that's happened before, you know?
Like a residual type
thing? I'm almost wondering that.
Either way, it'd be freaky as hell.
Oh, my God. I there's no way I'd survive that.
I think right now what we should do is have a banshee screaming contest.
No.
And we're going to see who can do the better banshee scream. Girls are sleeping upstairs.
I love our listeners enough to not do that to them. And our kids. Our kids, because they will both freak out.
You go first.
No, I'm not going to banshee scream. No.
Want me to go first?
If you do it, I'm going to walk out of here.
A banshee screaming contest.
That's just fucked up.
Be a great Halloween party game.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you were like in far enough like a rural area where your neighbors aren't going to call the police because they think someone's getting murdered, I could see it kind of being a fun little game.
Somebody's going to call the police.
As long as you're way the hell out there in
the
woods.
No, somebody will still call the police.
I heard banshee screams on Halloween way out there.
Yeah.
And it would freak the hell out of anyone else that's trespassing because oh my God.
Yeah.
Be interesting. It'd be like, you know, it's freaky to me it's not a banshee scream, but it's like a banshee scream if it was a bird at Home Depot. they have this sound effect speaker that is right on the exit or entry to the garden center from the inside of the store. And it sounds like birds being murdered. I mean, it is horrific.
Honey, I don't think it's a sound effects speaker.
It is. I found it the other day.
Did you ask somebody why you
saw it.
Okay, you saw it, but do you know that sound was coming out of that speaker?
I do. I mean, I got pretty close to it, and it was right there. And it kept changing, like, bird types out of the same general location. So unless there's, like, a box of, like, five different species of birds being ground up in a meat grinder right up by the garden hoses, I'm pretty sure it was out of the box.
Four people that work at Home Depot are going to call us and say, we do not pump in bird sound effects into the store.
I swear to God, the one here does. And it's not pumped into the store. It's on the outside. My guess is it's to keep out birds, to keep birds from flying into the store. Or something, keep some sort of animal away. It's either to keep other birds away or to keep some sort of other predator out of that general area. Because, you know, the high ceiling stores, a lot of times you get birds that fly in.
Uh-huh.
And the way this was located, and it's like on a constant loop. I'm guessing it was to keep out whatever.
Okay.
Hey, maybe I'm pretty sure I identified where it was coming from. Because it's always going on every time we're at that store.
Okay.
It is. I mean, every time, same place. I think the birds can't always be that pissed off in this exact same location, but I don't know. Maybe it's a ghost banshee bird.
Could be.
That haunts the Home Depot.
A banshee bird.
The ghost banshee bird of the Branson Home Depot. That's on the next Real Ghost Stories Online. Be great. People start calling in. And now I see that ghost bird flying around. Creepy. I never really had a ghost bird story, have we?
I don't think so.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, Brewskies. My name is Alyssa. I'm from Albany, New York. As a side note, I've noticed that you guys don't get a whole lot of submissions, calls, and the like from this neck of the woods. And I think that's pretty interesting. And I wonder why that is a lot. I consider myself a skeptic. I've never experienced any supernatural or paranormal things myself, but I find the concept very interesting, and I really love listening to your show and hearing all the stories of people who have experienced it, and through their stories, I get to understand, for lack of a better term, what I'm missing and what I don't see or believe in, and I think that's, you know, a really cool way for me to open my mind, and I'm starting to become convinced, I think, in some way or another. Anyway, I'm calling in because I do have something, and it's the one thing I've never been able to fully explain, or actually explain at all. So I'm looking to hear what you think. So I said I'm from Albany, but I grew up in a town just outside of Albany. And connecting Albany and this town, there's a stretch of highway that goes from a two-lane highway for about a mile and a half. So one lane going each direction. And when it hits the city line, it becomes four lanes, so two lanes going each direction. Now, this highway, there's really only a couple of ways you can go. The only exit on this stretch of highway is once you hit the city line and it becomes four lanes. And the other direction is a roundabout. So you guys all know how that works. And there's nothing in between for a mile and a half or so, if not a little bit more. There's a slight curve to this highway, but it's not curved enough so that you won't be able to see what's in front of you or what's behind you. It's pretty clear you can see for a good distance. So my story takes place as I was driving from my town, the two lane, towards the city line, to the four way. And I was about halfway down the highway, so I could see, you know, a good three quarters of a mile in front of me or three quarters of a mile behind me, and there's nowhere to go except the direction I'm heading, unless I, you know, I did a U-turn and went the other direction. One day, it was, like I said, I was driving this one direction from town to city, and it was evening, so just the time of day where the sky is getting pretty dark, and you can still sort of see the road, but you can also see the sky, like, it's dark outside, and you can see the cars in front of you and behind you, but they're mostly shadows if they don't have their lights on. There was a car pretty much right behind me. I wouldn't quite call it tailgating, but he was right behind me, and it was a big pickup truck or SUV. I wasn't quite sure because it was dark and it was behind me, but I knew he was there because he filled my rearview mirror. And he was right behind me for a few seconds, like 5 seconds. I glanced in my rearview mirror and he was there, and I mentally made a comment about how he was, like, getting a little close, you know, that mental comment you make, like, stop riding my ass, move back, or I'm going to hit the brakes kind of guy. And so it was, I thought that, and, you know, I continued for about 5 seconds and on this two-lane highway, and I blinked, or after a couple more seconds, I looked back, and he was gone. This car that was right behind me with its headlights on or its high beams was gone. Now, like I said, there was nowhere for it to go. If it went around me, I would have seen him. If he turned around and went the other direction, I would have seen him. And there was nowhere for him to exit or get off because he had another 3/4 of a mile to go before there was an exit, and 3/4 of a mile to go the other direction before there was an exit. I blinked, and he was gone, and I have not been able to explain it. I wonder what you guys have to say about that. I've never heard, you know, anyone else talk about seeing any cars disappear on that road, but now every time I drive it, I think of that SUV and its sudden vanishing from my rearview mirror in my sight. Thanks again for doing what you guys do. I love your show. Hope to become an EPP at some point in the future. I hope I hear this on the show, and have a great, happy spring, because it's spring.
I almost wonder if it's one of those times where you see it in your mind's eye and you don't know that you're not really seeing it, because I just can't imagine seeing a whole truck and a guy going down the road and then you blink and he's gone that fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that we hear stuff like that all the time, but for some reason I kind of feel like maybe it's one of those things like she had this vision.
Or almost how like someone who's sensitive will see a ghost and the other person in the same room won't see it.
Well,
and
sure.
And it was, is that same sort of thing?
I think so. I think, you know, it's not one of those things where anybody going down the road probably saw that behind her and then saw it disappear. It was just kind of like, just probably meant for her.
I think it was Duel.
I have not watched Duel. I remember Maximum Overdrive freaked me out, but I didn't watch Duel.
What? Didn't we see Max? Didn't we watch that, like, not that long ago?
Maximum Overdrive? No.
Or didn't we attempt to, but we couldn't find it, like, on anything?
We couldn't find it. It's terrible. Yeah. It's a horrible movie, but it scared the shit out of me.
What's the premise of that one?
Anything that's, like, mechanical, electronic, comes alive and starts trying to attack people. Like, lawnmowers will go after people.
Oh, we have to watch
cars
that.
Cars will drive themselves. And
that sounds lovely.
It's messed up.
It sounds hilarious.
I think Emilio Estevez is in it. I do. I think so.
And then he went on to Mighty Ducks and called it a day.
Yeah, I think he peaked at Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. And then, so was this pre-Breakfast Club or post-Breakfast Club?
I'm assuming it's post-Breakfast Club because I don't think he would have gotten the Breakfast Club gig if this had come first.
Interesting. Interesting. We'll have to find that. I would love to watch that movie. Just the idea of like the lawnmowers attacking people would be... that just sounds hilarious. And I'm sure the acting is lovely in a lot of this.
Yeah.
I was watching, there's a series that's, it's a web series, but it's also on Vice, or Viceland, the network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about bad movies. Or failed movies, and it eludes me as to what the title of the show is, and there's things only like 4 or 5 episodes. But there was one on the other day, and they essentially the premise is they follow the director or the creator of the movie around to kind of get a grasp onto like what the hell were you thinking
okay. When
you tried to make this movie. And I mean, it's amazing the bubble people can put themselves in and really convince themselves that what they're doing is viable, is good, and that other people other than themselves will really want to see this thing. And it's one thing when you're making parody or a spoof. These people think they're making like full-blown motion pictures that are going to like compete with, you know, everything. So there's that aspect of it, just the psychological, the human condition aspect of it. But there was one... I'm going back to the movie aspect of just the premise, and it was about birds attacking people. And I know there's like the movie The Birds. Birdemic, I believe, is what it was called. And I don't know if you can find this thing online or where you can probably watch it somewhere, because apparently there's been a series of three of them now.
Okay.
The next two ended up getting really, really spoofy, almost like they were trying to make a bad movie. But the first one is so bad, and the clips that I've seen, it is just so horribly produced and just thrown together. But I think, like, the person really put time into it, just didn't really have an eye for what the hell they were doing, or something. But, like, the special effects are just horrific. I mean, horrific. I mean, it's like something like you would think that, like, a second grader had done in, like, art class or something, or computer art. It would be probably in line with, probably much worse, but in line with just horrifically bad, but you can't stop watching it.
Like Sharknado.
Like Sharknado, yeah. Although that one I really couldn't watch, because I think that one was almost, like, really made to be bad. I don't think they ever, like, intended that one to take off. Like, this is just, like, there's so many things going on. You're like, what on earth is going through this person's mind? Anyway, it's one to check out if you're into that stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hello, Brewskies. My name is David Rogers in Tucson, Arizona. Big fan. Listen every day. And I had a story that happened to me recently. And I'm going to preface it with a little bit of explanation. See, there's this frequency, sound frequency, that supposedly can summon the paranormal, or at the very least make you feel uneasy. And it's around 16 to 18 hertz, but most of the time it's specifically 18 hertz. And this is a very low subsonic tone that you can barely hear. You lately don't hear the tone itself when you play it through a speaker, but you're actually hearing the cabinet of the speaker vibrating. It's a tone that you feel more than you hear. Anyway, so I recently got a new subwoofer, and I was testing it out, and I remembered this. So I looked up a sound test on YouTube specifically to play an 18 hertz tone. And I let it play, and the sub got to really good. So, like, it gave me that uneasy feeling, made me a little nauseous. So about after, like, 3 minutes of being satisfied with the performance, I, you know, turned it off. But that night, I was plagued with nightmares. And it's hard to... I don't remember specifically what the nightmares entailed, but I remember the feelings, and they were the exact feelings that I got from that tone, and a vague feeling of being chased. And then I go up, get myself a glass of water in the kitchen, and just for the sake of it, I go check the speaker, and on the back of the subwoofer, it has a little light, and it has this feature to where it turns on automatically once it senses a signal, but if it doesn't get any signals within 10 minutes, it turns itself off, and when it's off, it's red, and when it's on, it's green. And having already been in bed a few hours, the light was green, meaning that it was on for at least under 10 minutes. And I have no way of explaining this. I mean, it is a new speaker. So I might not know the quartz, but it was on the auto setting, meaning that it should only turn on if it was receiving some type of signal. Anyway, a little bit more about the 18 hertz frequency. Apparently, it's one of the frequencies that they put into horror movies to give you that uneasy feeling. And you don't get it as much when you watch it at home unless you have a subwoofer in your home theater. And some haunted houses also have subs throughout emitting this tone, just to give you that uneasy feeling. And some places have been accused of using that tone to perpetuate like false haunting or hoaxes. But there's also a sect that believes that it can summon the paranormal. And coincidentally, those low frequencies, those low wave frequencies, even when they're light frequencies and not sound, can have an effect on your brain waves and it can even make you hallucinate in some cases. So it just kind of feeds into how everything's connected through vibration and energy, and maybe this frequency bridges the two worlds a little bit. And we seem to have a natural aversion, a natural avoidance of things like this. Anyway, I hope you guys get to keep doing what you're doing, and you put on a great show, and have a good one.
Who wants to hear the sound?
No, don't do it.
Who wants it?
I don't want
it. I got it right here.
Don't do it.
You don't want to?
No. No. Had you ever heard that before?
I'm sure once you hear it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I recognize that from horror movies.
No, I mean, not the sound, but have you heard of places using that?
No.
I hadn't either.
I have not, but I believe it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all sorts of things that, you know, are done like that, especially but like the world of haunted houses. They're getting so in-depth and so specific in how they're doing things now. Lots of lovely tricks that they can use to really make amazing, amazing things. So that does not surprise me at all. And I'm not a technical audio person. It always like baffles me when I get like real like super technical geeky audio. Like, why is this in that hertz and that frequency? It's like, because when I pressed record, that's what happened.
Okay.
You know, as long as my audio sounds good, that's all I care about. I mean, I'm not one who's going to be able to, like, know about hertz or this or that. And I get what it is, but I don't really, you know, operate in that realm, if you will. I'm curious to what it sounds like. Shaking your head. You don't want ghosts? Or you just don't want to get the freaky sound? Or
I don't want either.
It's had 212,000. There's actually a ton of them on YouTube. Ouija? Should we do the Ouija board then instead?
I'm not even joking.
Okay, no. I won't play it. You know, I halfway wonder, though, honestly, if some of this creepy-ass music that we play in our show, if that doesn't have it in there, we don't even know it. You know? Just because it's used in that sort of a setting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's great.
There you go. It's in so many things you're unaware of it. I think so. I won't play it, but I'm just saying it's probably been heard many times. Although I'm curious because they do say like with subwoofers if we'd even hear it in our headphones or if anybody would even pick it up on an MP3. So I won't play it, but anyway, if you want to hear it yourselves, it's all over YouTube. There's even one that like loops for 12 hours.
Oh, because you need that.
Somebody has
for all your waking hours.
Exactly. It's called the video. I believe I just read it. It's called like the ghost frequency, and there's a little picture of it, like Casper up there. So I guess you want to like crank it up in your house, you can do it. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Morgan. I'm from Utah, but currently living in Connecticut while I attend grad school. I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and I'm a big fan. I've been listening since the beginning of the podcast, and I have to say it was really nice when Jenny joined too. I think as it goes on, it's just gotten better and better. I plan on becoming an EPP very soon as well. So I just like to tell my stories. I have quite a few paranormal stories. I think I've always been kind of sensitive to them, even from when I was a child. But my first real big encounter with them, I was about 10 years old. Before that, I had, you know, just witnessed, like, eerie feelings or seeing shadows out of the corner of my eye. But my real big first encounter with dealing with paranormal activity or with ghosts in general, I was about 10, and my mom was in this relationship with this guy, one of her many boyfriends while we were young, and they had just moved into this house. And my mom moved us in with them, and it was this new house, and I think a couple of my mom's boyfriend had a few siblings that had lived in that house, but not for very long. And I remember that the person who last sold them the house, or who sold them the house, had said that, you know, she has a hard, or this house has had a history of people not living in it very long, and they made some jokes that it might be haunted, but, you know, nothing that any of us took seriously. And my mom's boyfriend was trying to scare my younger brother and I. My brother is a year younger than me, and he was saying like that, just trying to freak us out. But, like, he was so right, unfortunately. Our first few months in the house, we just noticed little things, the sound of people walking up and down the hallway. There were three bedrooms in the hallway and one bathroom. And so there's a living room, and you went up this small flight of stairs, and then there was the hallway with all the bedrooms. We'd hear the toilets flush, and all the faucets in the bathrooms and in the kitchen would turn on around, you know, between, I'd say, about midnight to 2 in the morning. They would all just randomly turn on at the same time or go off. We thought that was a little weird. And then as time went on, when things started getting stronger, friends wouldn't sleep over at our house, saying that they could hear things, and not only hear the footsteps, not only just the faucets and toilets going off, but that they could hear little kids' voices. My mom, even one night after she sent my brother and I to bed, my brother and I decided to have a sleepover in my bedroom, and she said that she heard kids playing, and the sound coming from my bedroom. And so she, you know, from the living room while she was watching TV, said, "You guys need to go to bed. It's past your bedtime." And she kept hearing the noises, so she went up there, you know, expecting to yell at us and be mad, but she saw us fast asleep, and she could still hear the voices. And she saw that my closet was rattling, but then it stopped. And my mom said that because we were sleeping, she just left us in there. But she seriously, sat there for a few minutes considering whether or not she should wake us up and take us out of that room or not. I also recall seeing my closet rattling a few times, even hearing kids' voices. I also had a toy tub that was permanently fixed into the floor and into the wall. It was a built-in toy chest, and that would open and close every so often, too. My brother's room was the worst out of the entire house. My brother refused to sleep in there. He kept saying he would see the shadow of a man in there, and that he felt like it was going to hurt him, or that, you know, it was scaring him. And he would feel someone else laying next to him in his bed, and you could see the imprint of somebody laying in the bed next to him. And he absolutely refused and would, like, wake up screaming and in tears. And It was really insane. I remember one day while I was just kind of home alone, I remember just being curious and going into that room, and the feeling I felt was really intense. It didn't feel like anyone was trying to harm or hurt me, but it felt so intense and strong and almost scary and sad at the same time. And I remember just laying in that bed, and after a few moments, I felt a pressure, like there was something kind of holding me down. I also do recall seeing print, you know, the imprint of someone else laying in that bed. My aunt eventually moved in with us. My mom and her boyfriend were doing so well in the relationship, and he was even a little bit abusive, and I wonder if that also channeled a lot of the activity to increase in the house over time. As things got worse between them, I think it stirred up a lot of negativity and feelings. But she took that room thinking that it wasn't a big deal, even though we all warned her, and eventually she refused to sleep in there and just slept on the couch. And my brother, I think, slept in my parents' room or the couch or my room for the most part. There was also an instance, now this was from my mom telling me because my brother and I did not witness this, but my mom says she woke up one night to this bright light shining in through her window. Now, the window of my mom's bedroom was facing the back of the house, and in the back of the house was nothing but farm fields, and there's maybe a horse barn out there. So there was nothing out there that could have shown this bright white light through the window. But my mom woke up to this bright light shining through her window, and she just heard this woman crying and wailing, and she thought somebody was hurt, so she woke up her boyfriend and said, I hear someone screaming. Can you hear that? And he's like, no, I can't hear it. She's like, someone is in trouble. Some woman is hurt. We need to go find her. So he ran outside to check, thinking that maybe someone was hurt or something. But he ran around the house and even out into the field and couldn't find anyone. My mom was the only one that could hear the crying. But he did verify that he too saw the light through the window. They said it was so strong it was almost blinding. It lit up the entire room. But after my mom's boyfriend came back into the house, she said that the crying had stopped and the light had disappeared. But it was just a really intense house. And my mom and, I mean, obviously we didn't live there very long. I think we lived there for about less than a year, and we moved out. Part of that was due to my mom breaking off the relationship with her boyfriend, just because of how abusive it got. But still to this day, we talk about it, and we both agree that the spirit haunt, that something had to have happened there, but we don't know what it had happened. But none of us ever felt threatened, except for maybe my little brother, who I think was just more scared and didn't understand. But there was never, we never felt threatened, but more, it was very sad. There was a sad feeling. Something sad had happened there. And it definitely wasn't a good feeling. So that's my real first encounter with actually firsthand seeing things and witnessing things that were super paranormal or haunting, other than having that feeling or maybe seeing a shadow out of the corner of your eye. I have many more stories. I am a set designer for theater, and so I've been in many theaters, and of course every theater has its ghost story. Some of them I chalk up to just, you know, the cheesy ghost story, and some of them I have seen things which were really frightening, and I'll have to call and tell you about those. Another thing, I remember a while back when Jenny was first coming onto the show, Ellis Island was brought up, and I visited Ellis Island, and I too have seen things there. So I'd like to call in again and share those stories too. But I love what you're doing with the show. Thank you for everything you guys do and for the comfort you provide so many. I look forward to maybe hearing this on the show one day, and I will call back with more. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
She's been listening a long time if she remembers our Ellis Island shows.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
We broadcast live from the part of Ellis Island that you couldn't be on.
We did not. I think she's completely right in assuming something bad happened there.
Yeah.
I think something very bad happened there.
It's interesting with the sensitivity of the mother and the story of hearing the screaming, but the light being seen by everyone. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
No, I thought she only saw the light.
No, the father, that's what the confirmation was, that it wasn't just the mother.
Okay.
Unless I got it reversed, but I believe it was only she heard the screaming, but they both saw the light.
Okay, my understanding was she was the only one that saw the light or heard it.
Oh, no, he saw the light, too. Okay. So that was the confirmation there. What I was getting to is the sensitivity to these things that are mm-hmm. paranormal. Is that more so like an audible thing than it is a visual thing at times? Because, I mean, it's interesting that one saw one element of this and the other didn't.
You mean as far as different levels of sensitivity yeah. and what you can pick up on? It might be.
Be creepy as hell. And it almost, I think sometimes with the bright light out the window and looking into the field goes into like UFOs. But mm-hmm. UFOs don't necessarily have screaming, you know, people no. surrounding them. So, but that, yeah, that's very creepy. Obviously, I think the mom has a level of sensitivity that's probably a notch or two above most.
I think so.
So.
I definitely want her to call back in with her Ellis Island stories and give yes. me some validation for feeling thoroughly creeped out the whole time I was there.
Oh, I think you're completely spot on. I've never been there, but you're not obviously not the only one who has yeah. those feelings about that place. And that would be great to hear those stories. So please do call back and share that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi.
So this all took place in December of 1994, living in a flat in Sheffield, England. I was serving a mission there from 94 to 96. In this particular flat, there were, I believe, five other missionaries. And later on, I may include some information that a couple other missionaries that I had communicated with there had experiences as well. Not necessarily like mine, but they were paranormal. So our routine is to wake up at 6, go to bed at 10. When you wake up, usually prepare for the day, spiritually, mentally. That involves reading scriptures, praying. And this particular day, woke up as usual, but I was fairly tired. And so I thought, instead of sitting up to read scriptures, I'll just lay on my side. So I laid on my left side, reading my scriptures. And as I'd read a scripture, every so often I'd kind of look at the wall. And the British love their wallpaper. So this flat had some textured wallpaper. And I would kind of make shapes and designs with the texture that I could see just in my imagination. I'm sure you guys have done this before. And so as I was pondering the scripture and kind of staring at the wall, making images in my head, I could hear some whispering in the background. And I couldn't hear it very well or make it out, but I could tell that somebody was whispering. And I thought, oh, the other guys must be planning to come in here and tease me for sleeping in. And I said, you know, of course I'm not asleep because I can hear them. So I'm going to trick them when they get over here. And I kind of was waiting to hear them move closer to the bed. you know, had no idea what they were going to do, but I just knew that they were going to trick me and do something, rip my blankets off, pour water on me. I don't know what they were going to do, but I knew they were going to do something. And so preemptively, I anticipated this attack. And so I was going to get them. And that moment never came. And instead, it felt like somebody had put 50 to 75 pound weights on my head, on my feet, and then one on my hip. So I'm on my left side. This weight would be pushing me down on my right side. And it with 50 to 75 pounds on those various spots on your body, it kind of has a little sting to it. And it was a little over the top, and I was kind of, you know, just going to see where it was going to go. And if they got any rougher with me, I was going to, you know, somebody was going to get in trouble. And at that point, I discovered, right as I tried to move out of the way or get free from them, I discovered that I couldn't move. And so I tried to scream out loud, "Get off me," and I couldn't say anything. And when I started to realize that I was stuck, felt permanent, I could move my eyes enough to see three shadowy figures. Three human beings, or beings, if you will. I couldn't make out any details other than I could tell that they were beings of some kind. And they were tormenting me. And when I realized this fear that I was starting to have, this anxiety, it was right at that point, the one that was pushing on my hips grabbed my crotch. And it wasn't just a little tiny touchy-feely. It hurt. And at that point, I tried to jolt, and I was going to start killing people. You don't ever touch those parts of my body. And I realized that I couldn't move still, couldn't scream, couldn't take action. And little tiny detail about the LDS religion is there's information that we have learned that if you are ever faced with the adversary, you can, in the name of Jesus Christ, cast them out. And so I knew by that faith that I had that I could cast whatever problem there was out. And so in my mind, then at this point, I'm locked in. I can't move. And in my mind, I said those words. And it was like these three beings were like, "Oh, that was boring. Let's go somewhere else." And they just disappeared. And I was able to stare the whole time. I'm still bright recollection, fully aware. I could see the wallpaper. I can see the window that's nearby. I could see kind of the ceiling in the corner of my eye. All of this was real. Never at any point did I think that I was sleeping. And when they left and I was able to move, it wasn't fast, but it wasn't slow. And I came out of that, and it's now 2017, and I've been listening to your podcasts, and it's brought back some of those memories, and I have other stories that I can share with you. I hope that this one maybe can shed some light to others, help others feel that, you know, the netherworld is no respecter of persons. And there is another life after this. I don't expect any of you to believe that. I'll testify of it. I know that there are beings in other dimensions. I don't know how all of that works. I don't have all the details. But this stuff is real. It's not to be messed with. And I hope that that can help shed some light for others. All right. Thanks for everything you guys do. Bye.
I almost wonder if he accidentally slipped into a sleep paralysis state with being tired and still kind of laying down. And I'm not saying that this was just in his mind. I think something attacked him, but mm-hmm. I think it was, you know, attacking him when he was kind of in that in between sleep and awake state.
Well, it sounds like one hell of a sleep paralysis experience that involves, you know, something taking advantage of that state. Mm-hmm. What my question, I mean, because my question would be to someone who's going to argue, and I'm not saying you by any means, because I think you're arguing it, but someone who would argue, well, it's just sleep paralysis. Okay, well, then why is it that when people are in this sleep paralysis state, and if they're getting an experience like this, I mean, there's various experiences we've had with sleep paralysis. Some are even good, but this one, obviously, pretty dark. Mm-hmm. Why is it then that someone is able to break out of the sleep paralysis state when they call out in the name of their religion? Why is that the breaking thing when nothing else is seeming to work, but that's the thing that does it? You know, if it's not something to do with good and evil or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, why is that the key? Then that would be my question to someone who's saying, well, it's just sleep paralysis.
Yeah, yeah. And I hate that we use sleep paralysis for, you know, actual medical sleep paralysis mm-hmm. and then also paranormal sleep paralysis. It's almost like there needs to be another terminology for, you know, that type of state where you're in between sleep and awake and you're paranormally attacked.
Yeah, I don't know what that would be. I agree. It's part of me also wonders, too, although is it just, you know, it is using a natural state of the body and the mind to attack someone. I mean, you know, maybe it just starts out as just this is sleep paralysis, but then it sees the it's like, oh, door open.
Yeah.
Now I can go after the person because they're in that state. You know, or is it where the entity itself is causing the state, has pushed the person to be into that state? And that's where I think it'd be something completely different, like what you're describing.
Yeah. I hate to use that term because I don't want somebody to say, oh, well, they just think it's, you know, sleep paralysis, sure, like the medical condition. I'm thinking, I can't think of a time where I've ever said something was sleep paralysis and not meant it in the paranormally, you know, appropriate way.
It's like it's a demon attack with a touch of sleep paralysis.
Yeah,
it's like a side. It's a side order mm-hmm. that comes along with the experience. You know, creepy story. And thank you for sharing your experience with us. We do greatly appreciate you sending that in to us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences. If you like our program, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get all those bonus episodes of our program, exclusive video content, and much more. That is what keeps this thing alive. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.